You let me know if you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right. We are 9 a.m. We're here with the sheriff and staff. Sheriff, welcome. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you for the submission. As always, very thorough and detailed, and we appreciate that. Sheriff, you and I met last week, and I hope that I recall the conversation correctly. We talked about the four things I was really interested in us talking about today. First one is the budget overview, which we'll go through the same as we go through every year. Second one was the flex and its possible impact on the county and on our budget. Within that, we're also going to need to talk about our new methodology for calculating budgeted salaries. Third one is vehicle requests, which I mentioned you have to be ready to talk about the vehicle requests that you have. And the fourth one is the MRAP and where we are with that and what. I've had lots of questions about our liability and where everything stands. I'm appreciative of the county attorney for being here today because I'm going to ask some of those questions today. And so we'll just move right through that, but it's appropriate for us to start, as always, with you and any kind of opening statement you want to make.
And, Mr. Chair, if I could just add one other thought. I don't know whether we've talked a lot about it at this time, but, you know, with all the discussions about courthouse security and so forth, I still would like to have him give us somewhat of his take on that, you know, in terms of what we might need to look at, whether, and I know this is still ongoing in the discussion phase, but I really didn't see where we had plugged in anything that specifically addressed it back.
We haven't plugged anything
in,
especially with the sheriff's budget,
for that
would not be anything that would impact the sheriff's budget. It's something we haven't worked through. The sheriff and I have been part of half dozen meetings talking about that, but it's completely appropriate for us to discuss that at some point during our
All right.
With that, Sheriff, I'll turn it to you.
No, I would just say we're happy to be here, prepared to answer any questions the board have. And as you can see, we've presented our budget. We try to make it as line item by line item, as descriptive as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And as in the past, Sheriff, I'll just ask you, our practice with you, with other elected officials generally, and with you even more specifically, has been to avoid necessarily the line-by-line conversation. We like explanations. Mm-hmm. We like you having an opportunity to talk to the public about what you're doing in the sheriff's office and what you see as important. This board has never felt it was our responsibility or authority to really dig in line-by-line, but to more look at overall trends, what the capacity of the county is, and ultimately what kind of resources we have available for you to do the job you do.
Well, I've always appreciated that take. It's much more, I think, appropriate for the law enforcement professionals to run the office instead of administration stepping up to do that. But that also is why we have such a descriptive line item account, so you guys can look through the budget, and if anything sticks out that you might have a question on, we'll be more than happy to answer that specific question.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And just so that you know, as we kick this thing off, Sheriff, this is the fifth time that this board has been with you to have this conversation. I'll tell you that for me, it's been a really professionally pleasurable process to work through those each year. You need to know, as we start, I'm probably in a very similar position to where you've heard me in previous years in terms of what I'm seeing in this budget and how I feel about it. But I would really appreciate if you would just start off with your revenues, or have staff start off with revenues, and just take it through it. Clearly, external revenues are getting harder and harder to come by. I mean, when we look at the 10-year trend overall in county government, but specifically in your office, it's a declining trend, and so we're having to do more and more, rely more and more on the taxpayers of Story County to fund the operations that we have. I just appreciate if you'd take us through the revenues generally or specifically and just give us a sense of where we are.
Well, I'll do it very generally. The revenues that we have in the sheriff's office have been declining. One of the primary reasons, a number of years ago, we brought in over $600,000 in revenue, and the majority of that, well, we brought in almost $900,000, but over $600,000 of that was for care and intake and keep of Marshall prisoners. Well, the Marshall prisoners have waned, and when Polk County built their jail, they entered into a contract, so Polk County has most of their prisoners. We are in a position now where we have not had federal prisoners for some time. We have some Department of Correction people that we hold after sentencing, and we get reimbursed for that. We have a few other folks that we bring funding back for. But all in all, it has been decreasing significantly. What we're looking for in the future, you've seen my decision this year not to hold ICE inmates on special requests. And when they ask for the detainers on the ICE, I have not agreed to continue to hold them because there is litigation across the country in other states. And looking at the Iowa County Attorneys Association requests that not to put the counties in such a position for liability. So I, along with other sheriffs in Iowa, have taken that stand. As an example, Polk County was one, and they held a large number of ICE inmates. Well, the day after Polk County Sheriff announced they would no longer hold on detainers, ICE at 4:30 in the next morning showed up there with several vans and took all their ICE inmates out and took them to Marshall County Jail. Hmm. Now, because Marshall County Jail is holding ICE inmates at a higher point, we've entered into a discussion with Marshall County prisoners, whatever overflow of their own prisoners that we would hold at a reduced rate here, just trying to find out ways that we could maybe generate some since we're in a low position with the numbers that we have as well.
Absolutely. Questions for the sheriff or anybody on the revenue side? You know, just looking at the numbers, Sheriff, I really appreciate you putting it in perspective for me, but it clearly is declining. Would you expect that that's a trend we're going to continue to see?
Well, there's so many factors that comes in, not only what we've seen in decrease in the number of people in our own jail that's around at the federal ranks as well. But we're also going through the EDMS, which is taking some revenues from us and also increasing expenditures
sure.
on our part. And so we're battling with that. And until something changes in that line, I don't foresee I'd like to think that we're going to be holding steady. I hate to see a decline, but the things that we are looking at possible increases are, you know, the law enforcement contracts that we have with the communities. That's already a preset rate that's going into effect automatically this year. The cities that we do contract dispatching for, that rate's also going to be increasing very, very slightly. I believe it's a cost of living index it goes up by, so it's not significant at all. But overall, we're noticing the decline in revenue as well.
One revenue I want to talk about real quick is miscellaneous federal grants for the rural services on page 164.
Mm-hmm.
Current year, I reestimated that down to 44,640 because that is actually what you are. We got this year was 44,640.
Is that the burn grant?
Yes. Okay. And I don't think we should budget 75 next year unless you guys know something that I don't know.
Well, the burn grant is something we don't know until they come out with
right.
it, as you know.
Right.
We don't. What we've seen as trends in the past with the burn grant is where they used to pay for a whole host of items. Right now in the task force, we're the only one, Story County Sheriff's Office, that has personnel paid for out of that.
Right.
So we have our personnel, but they've quit paying for equipment, they've quit paying for overtime, all these things, and I don't see, there's nothing to lead me to believe that they're going to reverse that course, but where they're going to come in at or how far they're going to go down.
Well, typically what we've done, Sheriff, is whatever you've gotten for the
previous.
Current year, we reestimate to what the current year contract is, and then next year put that same amount in is how I would prefer doing that.
Okay.
And if it comes in bigger, yay, we can go ahead and increase it next year. But
what would you like to move that to?
44,640, which is what you have this year. 44,640, which is what you have this year.
Okay.
Lisa, anything else on revenues that we need to talk about?
Nope.
I think it's a reasonable. Reasonable action to move to what our actuals were for this year, and then we'll see where it is next year.
Okay.
If there is nothing else on revenues, we'll move to expenses. So this is an opportunity If you take the page 170 and the first four items on page 171, and Connie, most for you, draw a line right under that fourth item, which is the second employer, it's the rural services flex benefits, and let's talk about everything above that line item.
Okay.
It is basically all going to change. It is basically all going to change, and it's all going to change based on two things. First thing it's, that's going to change it as we look at the flex benefits is clearly we're going to have a new methodology for providing employee benefits. We don't know exactly what that looks like yet. We just know it's not going to be what we currently have. It is our expectation at this point, based on some real preliminary looks, is that that's all going to go up, especially the flex lines. Items that you're going to see go down are probably IPERS and the FICA portion of that, simply because now the health benefit portion, which right now is fully taxable and fully in the IPERS, will not be in those. So it's our expectation that you're going to see flex both go up. You're going to see IPERS and FICA come down. Second item is the
What do you mean by flex go up?
The flex, yeah, don't, I'm sorry, not flex, benefits, the cost of benefits going up.
To the employees.
As the employees.
Employer.
It's going to cost Story County more to provide benefits than we currently do. Last year, countywide, it was about $2.3 million to provide flex and the associated cost. And we expect that number to be greater countywide, possibly much greater countywide than it was this year. You will see that reflected as good an estimate as we can, once we make some decisions on what it's going to look like, you'll see that reflected in those line items. Those are going to change.
Do you have an idea of what that estimate would be? What your WAG? You haven't put anything to
the that? The first number I saw was $3.1 million, and the second number I saw was closer to $4 million. Is that right? But it could be. It could be anywhere. I think it is completely reasonable to assume that it's going to be substantially more. What that means, Sheriff, I can't tell you right now. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll continue to keep everybody really, really posted, and Connie will really work closely with you to make sure we're plugging in the right numbers as we get there. All the way up to salaries, philosophical change in the way we budget salaries. Sheriff, the first thing you need to know is, I believe it's 84.5 positions that are approved in the Sheriff's office right now. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. We are completely committed to fully funding the 84.5 positions that are committed to you. We're just going to budget it this year toward actual cost rather than the cost if every position was fully funded for the whole year. Every year we have a variance that goes in there. With the rest of our budgets, we've really tried to move hard over the last 5 years to budgeting toward actual cost. We're implementing that this year countywide, every department, every office, for our salaries. That's going to impact that number. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like right now. The important thing for you is it doesn't change anything for your staffing levels. We still expect you to fill positions. We expect you to fill positions as quickly as you possibly can. We're not looking for you to do anything different with those positions.
Help me understand your terminology for you're going to fully fund them at an actual rate.
Actual cost.
Okay, so explain that to me.
So we're going to plug in. I'll try to explain it to you. We're going to plug in an assumed number of what we think it's going to cost us to fund your filled positions for the year.
And what do you base that on?
County history. We're going to base it on where we are historically with what's going on with the numbers.
I take the positions and I multiply it by the number of pay periods, and that's what
yep.
I put it.
I mean, we've got some pretty good history over the last 6 or 8 years of where we are from, fully funding every approved position in the county to what we actually spend. We're going to try to get closer to the mm-hmm. actual. Our intent there is to make sure that across the board, when the Board of Supervisors budgets money for salary, we're coming really, really close to the target. We do understand that we're going to have to come back during the year next year and probably amend dollars in to certain departments. We've got some departments that tend to run at a higher rate than others. Some don't. We're going to try to hit as close to actual as we can with those dollars.
I understand where you're going with this and your philosophy. Mm-hmm. In past years, as you know, when you look at it historically, we've been down. We've gone through some years where we've really been down in jail, in patrol, and even a couple of times in dispatch. Dispatch playing our most solid division as far as lack of turnover. But anyway, what we have seen this year is we have not noticed and we do not predict
right.
the high level of vacancies. What we are seeing, though, is potential impact for overtime, and that's based on FMLA leaves that are coming up due to injuries, due to maternity issues mm-hmm. and things of this nature. So I guess what percentage are you looking at funding the salary line items?
We haven't completely determined that yet. Go ahead, Wayne, if you got it.
Well, no, my question, and I mean, he raised a good question. My question is, if you have 84.5 positions and we know what that cost pretty much is uh-huh. Okay, so that's basically where we're at. The problem that you're talking about is in your department, historically, there have been periods that you have gone several months with a lower number, maybe due to, I'm just going to throw out a military leave or mm-hmm. some other, you know, unforeseen situation. And while your number was still the 84.5, you didn't immediately fill that position, even though you knew that it was going to be filled within a certain amount of time. The question that you may be asking is, are we funding the 84.5 positions? And if for some reason there's a reduction in numbers for whatever period of time, how is that made up? How is that handled? And when it's filled or if those people come back in, is there a change in how you go about methodology? And I think that may be the question that I'm not 100% sure of, but That to me is about the only thing that I can think of. Because any new position, if you were talking about adding another position, and I'll just hypothetically throw out, let's say we want to completely have a uniformed deputy manning the entrance to the Justice Center and, you know, scanning everybody that comes in. Okay. That's a cost of a FTE, whether it's a current position or a new position. Okay. So then, that would be something we would have to look at in terms of how we're going to fund that, because if it's funding more, if it's going to increase your number, then, you know, that changes it a little bit. So that's the only question that I'm having. I know that historically one of the issues that we've had is that sometimes, let's say IT, for example, we had a person leave and, we decided that, we're not going to fill that position right away in some of our departments. Well, technically that position was already funded. So we're not going to fund that if it's not being filled, if it's not being used. Now, if and when that position is reactivated or filled, then those dollars will be there to fund it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Wayne's 100% right. I think the general answer to your question, Sheriff, is, countywide, when you look at the numbers over the last 6 or 8 years, we are running somewhere between 90 and 95% when you compare fully funded positions versus our actual salary cost. I would fully expect that we're going to end up with a budgetary number for this year somewhere right in that range, 90 to 95% of full capacity, with the understanding that when we get to this point next year, so in the fiscal year, and we see what the actual trend is, there's absolute certainty that in some areas we're going to have to amend some dollars in order to make sure that we meet where we are. If you run 100% for next year, then it's simple enough. We're going to amend everything back in to get us to those 84.5 positions. If you don't,
then we're not. We're gonna budget it and fund it as close to actual as we possibly can.
Let me just remind you also that when we have an office as large as my office, mm-hmm. when we're down numbers, as you've seen mm-hmm. when a year and a half ago, we came to the board and asked for another person in dispatch, mm-hmm. which the board had granted and then asked for me to come back and present to the board mm-hmm. The effects of that.
Mm-hmm.
That was about a year and a half ago.
Right on.
This January, we finally are feeling the effects of having the person recruited,
good,
trained, and now they're operating on their own. And we're expecting to see a drastic reduction in overtime in the communication division. But when we have a situation where if we have one or two people that are out on an unexpected leave or a leave, and Paul knows this, our overtime goes sky high. Mm-hmm. And so the monies that we had in salaries may offset the overtime as it comes up. I understand what the board's looking
sure.
at and trying to get more for exact what salary costs are. But because of what I do have to go through in the different divisions, for when I have a vacancy and as long as it takes for public safety to bring someone back into a position mm-hmm. where they're operating on their own,
mm-hmm.
other areas are going to be costing us. And that's where we've also had that cap to oversee that as well.
Absolutely. I hear you. I appreciate it. It's our role statutorily as the Board of Supervisors to weigh in on some of those decisions and to talk through some of those actions. And philosophically, we have gone across the board here in Story County over the last 5 years to trying to budget toward actuals. Right? We've tried to budget toward what we actually need to provide the service. This is the next step in that process. And to use the example you just gave, Sheriff, absolutely. We recognize that completely, that if something happens and you are down, first of all, if you're not down in staff, great. We should be fully staffed. Everything's going great, and we're going to amend some dollars back into the budget near the end of the year in order to make us meet all of our targets. If not, if you're down, yes, we're going to recognize some savings in there, and hopefully we've budgeted pretty close to that, but we may see some increased unexpected costs in other areas, and we just need to have that conversation in order to take care of it. This board is readily available. We're highly nimble. We don't duck taking action or taking responsibility. We're just going to try to look at this more closely as an actual item, including overtime. Try to look at overtime as an actual item rather than, oh, this is what it would be if this, if that. No, let's talk about actuals. And then if something happens and we need to have a conversation to change our plan, we've got the ability to do that.
This year, what is the county targeting goal for your carryover?
Targeting goal for our carryover.
What percentage do you want to have for a carryover?
Well, 25% every year, depending on the fund you're talking about, right? If you're talking about the general fund.
That goal.
This is somewhat of a little bit of a shift in how we budgeted in the past.
Yep.
And should more dollars need to be amended back into various budgets mm-hmm. across the county, is that going to affect the cap that you have? Or
When's the last time we hit 25%?
Oh, man.
So that's our goal. We never, ever, ever hit it. Lucy, when's the last time we hit 25%?
We're usually in the low 20s, I think.
Yep.
We're good.
This year, initial budget that we got is 16. I mean, we're not flush right now. Mm-hmm. But trying to budget more toward actuals has really, Lisa, you speak to this. You've seen it done both ways. I believe it's really helped our position, our fiscal position over the last few years.
It helps our position. It helps our, and your question to coming back, for an amendment when we get to the point where we have a better grasp on what your actuals are going to be for the year. The fact that the ending fund balance, we're starting out hoping for 25%, and because of what happens throughout the year, we come in a little higher, so there are funds available to do that. We're maxing out the levies anyway. It's not as though we can go get more money somewhere else anyway. It's got to come from fund balances.
Okay. I know it's a new process. We're committed to working with you. We're committed to your 84.5 positions.
I appreciate that. And
okay.
I also understand and respect the budgeting who handles the checkbook as the Board of Supervisors.
Absolutely. We're trying to do our best. I mean, with everybody.
May I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Is Lisa, are you going to be the one that's responsible for watching the salaries? And then when will you let me know when you're going to do the re-estimation of how much is going to be in that budget or what it's going to go to?
For the year we're going into?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, like, with this new process
February.
Of the salaries
I mean,
in February?
Yeah, I have to publish the end of February, so when we do the budget hand back, there will be an amount in there, and that's where, what we're going with, is
and
my
you will, and you will be putting that in?
Okay, and then Connie, we're counting on you and Lisa to work together throughout the year to make
absolutely.
Sure we know where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to.
Right.
Yeah, when do you publish? What date do you publish on?
It has to be in the paper on February 26th, means I have to send it on February 20th.
Yeah, and we're going to know before then.
I think our staff callback or our staff meeting to hand them out and hopefully discuss other things. Will be February 17th.
Lisa, where's our educational incentive?
101. 170, Sheriff, about midway.
So educational incentives, that's part of the salary and benefit line item.
We're going to try to budget those as close to actual as we can, and we'll amend in as we need to. I mean, what you're talking...
I understand that. What I'm looking at is I also look at operational and salaries in my budget. And we've had the discussion in other years, things which should be in salary and which should be operational.
Right.
And so that's just where I'm asking, where since that's a negotiated item, that's through contract.
Absolutely.
If that's something that... Have you guys considered that now? It used to be you considered that as operational cost. Is that now considered as salaries and?
At this point,
that's a good question. I don't know.
At this point, I am honestly, and we can have the conversation. And Lisa, if you view it differently than this, let's talk about it. Where we drew that line right below the second employer flex benefits, everything up. So that includes the overtime. It includes the educational incentives. I'm viewing it all as a salary line item that we're going to budget as close to actual as we can.
Your preference.
Yeah, no, I'm not asking you to make the decision. I'm asking you to weigh in.
Okay. They have considered it operational before.
Yep. Well, a couple of these things have been considered operational before. I think this is cleaner. This is so. We'll just
do
it that
way. That's where I've always wanted it to be in the past, because there are certain things that are in our control we can, and certain things that are out of our control.
Yep. So this conversation, what you should be able to take away from this conversation is, when I assume we're going to have a callback, Sheriff. I assume we're getting ready to get into the conversation where we're going to end up with a callback to have some more conversation. And in previous years, when you've done that callback, a few of those items above the line have been included in that callback, trying to make that. Don't include them.
Very good.
Okay. Everybody good? We ready to go on?
Yeah.
All right.
You've only confused me a little bit, but I'm ready to go on.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry, Wayne.
That's okay. It's different.
I'm starting at employee recruitment and going down. And Sheriff, again, as I've said in previous years, I'm glad to go through this with you line by line if you'd like. I don't really need to. I'll tell you where I am. I need you to find $209,620.
How much?
209,620. And if you want to call that 200,000, just for the sake of argument, call it 200,000.
To reduce out of the overall budget?
Correct.
Out of the operational?
Out of the operational.
Operational. Operational. Because, you know, and rather than going to specific items, what I tried to do is I went through and took a look again at historical data in terms of cost in several, you know, particular areas, looking at the increase that are there, and yet with the narrative, One of the questions, and rather than getting specific, it appears that this might be the time just use uniforms for your deputies and so forth as listed here. Is this based on number of years of usage or just a percentage of the deputies who that uniforms have been, starting to be depleted and so forth, it just needs to be replaced?
Basically look at an average what it takes for we figure in how many new deputies we're going to have, yeah, and or employees, because everyone wears a standard uniform.
Right.
And
right.
Then we also figure in a certain rate per employee throughout the year for replacement and upkeep and cleaning of their uniform.
Okay, so the upkeep and cleaning is included in that. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. That figure.
And I'll just say right now, as we start this conversation, and Lisa, I'll ask you to weigh in because you got a better memory than I do. Sheriff, I really appreciate consistency, and I find it I actually kind of like that we're basically starting this conversation exactly where we've started it the last 5 years. I mean, I think that honestly, the first time I was sitting in that chair, the first time we had this conversation, I think it started a very similar way. Lisa, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I like consistency. I appreciate the way you put this thing together and your methodology for getting there. And I've said to you on multiple occasions, I don't always worry about whether I'm pleasing you. I worry about whether I'm consistent with you and you know what to expect from me. And so I actually kind of like that that's where we are.
Well, we have a process in the sheriff's office we use. And we start as early as later part of September working on our budget with the division commanders. And like probably here, they come into me and my team with a wish list, and then I pare down,
sure,
go from there, because when we come to the board, we want to have something that we see as a realistic,
mm-hmm,
budget that we present. So when I hear almost $210,000 asking to be cut out of the budget,
mm-hmm,
just from operational, that's a concern to me. So we will go back and look to see what we can do,
mm-hmm,
but I also feel that I need to present to the Board of Supervisors a realistic
Absolutely, that's what we want. But and I completely understand that it concerns you. I would encourage you to go back and maybe review the audios of these others. It's not a much different number than what we've started talking about the last 5 years either. You and I have had a very similar conversation over the last 5 years in terms of where we started. Now, whether we finish at a similar spot to where we finished the last couple of years or not, we've got to talk about that. You've got to look at it. You've got to, I assume, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth here, but I assume we'll do a call back at some point and have the conversation, which is what we've done the last 4 years when we had this conversation. I appreciate what it sounds like. It's very consistent with where we've been in the past. Paul, you've been through them close.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number, like Rick said, I think the number that we've started off with is really pretty similar to the numbers we've thrown out in the past. And I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that I'm the numbers guy. I don't go through an elected official's budget line by line when we get them. It's different for me than it is with the department that answers directly to the Board of Supervisors. I'll look those over line by line. You're elected to run the sheriff's office. I'm going to let you do that. But it's our job to set the budget. And if that number that we've thrown out is I think what we look at as far as in an your part of us ending up where we want to be when we start the new fiscal year.
Well, we're starting with a 16% ending fund balance, with a goal of 25%. We've got to get there somehow, which is not a – last year it feels like we started with 17 or 18% ending fund balance. I mean, it's not – we're not looking, with the exception of health benefits, which is going to negatively impact the budget in terms of ending fund balances. With the exception of that item, we're not sitting here a whole lot differently than we've been the last couple years, and I'm talking overall county. But your role in the, I mean, you're such a large chunk of the overall county budget. And so when we're looking at trying to make all the numbers work, yeah, we got to come to you.
The flex benefits that you're talking about and the potential impact that may have in the county and the budget, is that a done deal? And sometimes I hear you say that this is what you're looking at, but has this been tested? Has it been
tested?
I'm trying to find the framework here that I want to put this
sure.
in. You guys are implementing this program. The only thing you're looking at is implementing what pay scale or what flex benefit to what employees you're going to have to spend. Is that correct?
I would say maybe partially correct. So we're looking at everything. Overall, yes, we're looking at benefits to county employees. Traditionally, that benefit in terms of health related has been $575 a month, and employees do with that what they choose. They either take the county insurance, they take that money and go buy their own insurance. If you're like me, you're on your wife's insurance, and so the $575 comes in and we use it for whatever we use it for. That has been traditionally been our process. Now we're looking at everything. Since the federal government has said you can no longer do that, we're looking at everything, and we're trying to put together a plan to the benefit of Story County employees across the board for the longest term possible. Mm-hmm. Sheriff, we don't know what that looks like yet. We've got multiple meetings next week, and I hope it's going to start to clarify itself by the end of next week or into the middle of the next week is where I'm hoping things are going to start to clarify, but we're not there yet. And it's the reason that when we talk about this line and everything above it, we've got a lot of work to do on, more work to do on the budget this year outside of work sessions than at any other time that I've been here.
Okay, and again, for clarity and
sure, absolutely. This is the time to talk about it.
I'm not trying to be a troublemaker here.
But yeah.
I just want to ask a couple questions. I guess the question I'm going in, what would happen should what you're talking about, the flex benefit, not go through? What happens if it stays the same?
What do you mean stay the same?
It can't.
You know, this same conversation I've had with several other external counties and with ISAC and our insurance carrier and so forth. And so our current option of the 575, we know that can't go beyond July 1st. So there has to be what's the next decision that we're going to make in terms of looking at a benefit package for employees that is comparable attract and maintain, employees. Currently right now, it was always easy for us to give the 575, and traditionally 575 doesn't really match up what a single plan is anymore. When you stop and think about the increase there. So we know that's going to go away. So we're going to be looking at several different options out there in terms of, we can fund. And that's why Rick was probably saying for those who take the county plan, more than likely there's going to be an increased benefit offering than what they've had in the past.
Well, I think Wayne's right. I mean, I think that's the expectation of what would occur here. I'll just say this, and then Alyssa wanted to clarify something that we were talking about just a minute ago. I have budgetarily, so I am a numbers guy, and budgetarily I have loved flex. It's consistent for every employee. It's easy for Lisa Markley and I to sit down and calculate what it's going to be, what the impact's going to be. We plug it in. It's been a benefit that a huge percentage of our employees have seemed to really appreciate. I know that I personally really, really have appreciated it. And so it's been easy. It's not easy anymore. The federal government has determined it's not going to be easy, and so we're going to utilize this as an opportunity to try to do the best we can for Story County with the expectation that it's going to cost Story County more to do it. You wanted to clarify something.
Yeah, when you said could it stay the same, the amount, the $575, could stay the same. They just can't take it in cash. It would be legal to say we're going to allocate $575 towards this. This is your benefit. But you cannot take it in cash. The issue is they take it in taxable cash.
Benefit.
You have to take the benefit.
Or lose it.
Or lose it.
And that's that's the theory that we're going forward with. I mean, we've got an opinion from our benefits attorney.
Who will be here Monday.
Who will be here Monday right after the first of the year. I know Jessica and Steve have looked at it.
I haven't even seen the federal law on,
sure.
And
we're going to move forward with the thought that we're no longer going to be able to let the employees take that cash option.
But to answer your question, could it stay at 575 from a budgetary standpoint? Technically, it could. It would just impact the employees would have to allocate that 575 to health insurance, mm-hmm. dental, whatever. They just can't take it in cash anymore. So that's why they're looking at some different options.
And that's why it affects FICA and IPERS in this whole picture also, is because those dollars right now, the 575 is covered, FICA and IPERS covered, mm-hmm. whereas that 575 will not be anymore, so that will lower those numbers also.
Now, and again, just try to understand this from a mm-hmm. budgetary perspective. When we were at the meeting last night, you say there was 52 employees that took insurance out of 370 Story County employees.
52 is exactly right.
52 out of 312 eligible full-time employees. We have between 350 and 370 complete, but there's about 50 that aren't eligible for benefits.
Then that would skew the math a little bit, but changing the 350 from 312 or 52 from 312 times 575, should people's choices stay the same and they not jump on the county stuff just the way it is now, how much money you're talking I assume that would be considered savings to Story County.
If that's the way it went, if you're saying that any change like this would not change anybody's personal choices, then, yeah, I mean, there's no way to do the math that it wouldn't be savings. But the reality is we've got many, many, many employees that don't utilize the county insurance, but they take the 575 and immediately put that into an insurance plan, and those employees are immediately, when we change this thing and we say you can't take it in cash anymore, they're immediately going to be interested in what kind of plan the county offers. Not all of them, some of them.
Not when a family plan costs $1,300.
Which is why we've got to deal with that. So, what I said last night, Sheriff was here last night during, this is my personal expectation of what's going to happen in all this. I believe that we're going to end up with three different groups of employees. And we've been treating everybody the same, and I've loved it, but we're going to end up with three different impacts based on this. Those that end up taking a county insurance family plan are going to benefit and probably benefit greatly, because now instead of 575 toward a $1,500 plan, you're going to get a lot higher percentage of that family plan, and you're not going to be paying the $1,000 a month for a family plan. Individual plans are probably going to stay pretty close to the same. What it was costing you to get insurance is probably very similar to what it's going to cost you in the future. And then people like me, you know, I did some checking. It does nothing for me to get off my wife's insurance plan. I'm going to end up taking a hit of $575 a month. That's going to be savings to county. But I don't believe for a second that I'm going to be in the majority. The benefit's going to be too great, and it's too important for that to go. So
I think what Connie's saying is, if you would just keep it at 575, that's
right.
You know, and they can't take the cash and they have to take the benefit, then you're correct.
Then you're 100%
correct.
The
family
correct.
Plans won't.
Well, if that's where it's
that,
paid.
That's why we have to look at all our options. I mean,
you know,
yes, that is one option, just to say you can't take it in cash anymore, and understand that there's a lot of different issues here. We not only have the board that has to do this for the non-union employees, we have to bargain with the union employees. So there's, you know, there's no answers right now. We don't know what it's going to look like. But if they would just say, you know, you can't take the taxable cash, I'm speaking for non-union employees at this point, you know what, the cash option's off the table, it would impact people tremendously that have individual plans outside of the county. You know, that's why they need to take a look at the whole benefit packages. You know, what can they provide? Can they provide a good portion of the family plan paid by the employer so that the employee doesn't have to, you know, since they won't get that cash now to go purchase an outside,
you know, as
policy.
The majority of the time I've been connected with the county, I've always heard the comment, the county's got shitty insurance.
I believe I've heard you say that a couple times.
Yeah, and that's why every chance I had, I was off the county's insurance and on my spouse's, and that's where I'm at right now. But to a guy or an employee, prospective employee that comes in here that's going to get paid $50,000 a year and has to take that family plan, to ask that employee to take another $1,000 a month out of his pocket to pay for that, it's not reasonable. And for me, I would envision, or I'm going to push for some sort of a plan where we're going to pay a large percentage of the single policy and a large percentage of the family premium. And if you're like me and you put that money in your cash or in your paycheck and you write that check to the Board of Regents to pay for two kids' college tuition, I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. But I know that when somebody comes to work for Story County, they're going to have an option of having a pretty good benefits package, and it's
going to at a reasonable cost
to the employee. It's going to drive our costs up considerably. I mean, we've had that conversation this morning.
This is a tough thing. I mean, this is a really, really hard thing. It's not something that we asked for. It's not something that we wanted. But now that we've got it, we're going to do the best we can with it.
And I'm just trying to understand it.
And I'd like to understand it, too. All I can do is tell you what I know at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We good with all that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I threw out my initial. We can go through and we can talk about it in previous years. We've talked about it a little now, and then we've come back. If you want to just take – I mean, if you guys want to weigh in at all before we
the
go
anywhere
else.
The only thing I'll throw out there is up to now we've been consistent. We've asked the departments or the elected offices to go back, look at the number of gallons of fuel, mm-hmm. and just take 50 cents off. I mean, you're budgeting at $3.50 a gallon.
Uh-huh.
And we're not paying that right now. So instead of, I mean, we're not asking you to budget it at $2 a gallon, and we all know what could happen to the price of oil. But what we've asked them to do is, you know,
what Paul's saying is when we go line item by line item, that would have been a conversation we're going to have. I just expect you to go back and do that. If you want to rebudget what you expect to pay for gas, you handle it.
Well, I will take this back, my command staff,
sure.
And we will work on this. But also want to remind the board that there was other years we put in X amount for a gallon of gas on fuel, and over the few months it
sure.
went up dramatically.
Yeah. And all we can
we'll
do is get through
that.
One year at a time.
And yeah, we'll deal with
the
that.
Years we come right. in where right. under right. what the current rate was, we come in under to make that work. I guess what I'm saying is it's so volatile right now what the right. prices are going to be, and who knows what they're going to be in 2 or 3 months from now, even before next fiscal year starts.
Right.
So what I will do with this, Lisa, when does this go to publication?
February
20th. February 17th is when I hand back the budget. So.
February 17th. So next Wednesday I have the National Sheriff's Conference in D.C., and I'll be gone for a week for that.
Okay.
But when I'm gone, I'm going to be having my staff, my division command, look within their budgets and to see what we can do to bring this down as much as we can. And then I'd like to come back and have this conversation again with the board.
Absolutely.
And come back to where we are and where we feel we can give back and, you know, if it's not the full amount, why we feel we have to have.
We need to work through the process. That's what you just laid out is very similar to what we've done the last four. Now we're in their fifth year. It's very similar to what we've done the last four times. I think it's completely appropriate. And all I'd ask is just work with Lisa to set a good callback time, and we'll get back together and we'll talk this through, and let's start there and see what we come up with.
Probably early February sometime, Lisa, we'll do that.
All right.
Now, my question again, you started out and you said you had been in conversation with Paul before, and you had Stephen come here, and there were a couple items.
Yep, I've still got them.
Okay.
We're not done.
Okay.
We're done with
all
this
right.
portion.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because we've still got some budgetary things not within the sheriff's budget that we've got to talk about.
Sheriff, you can probably understand this a little bit more. Now with the way that we operate, we don't have the ability, the three of us, to sit down with you like we used to be able to talk through a lot of these things. So if Rick or Paul or I or, you know, are having conversations regarding some of these types of things, we have to utilize a different format to be able to air out some of those. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of this I haven't heard and not privy to where the conversation is going. So I'm That's why I wanted to make
sure. Right, which is one of the reasons that it's completely appropriate. Yes, it takes us a little more time, but it's the right way to do it. Sitting here with the recorder on is absolutely the right way to do it, giving you whatever time you need to go back and really dig in. Hopefully, leave here understanding the position the board's in terms of where Story County is fiscally and your role as part of all of Story County, and we see what we can do. And, Sheriff, I'm expecting it to be a very similar conversation to what we've done in previous years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Outstanding. We good there?
May I bring up something else?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And this is going back to the education incentive. So now, is this going to start for the FY16 that Lisa is going to figure the education incentive? Or is that something that we are keeping in our budget that we have provided with you?
It'll be in your budget. You and I are going to work together on what amount is the correct amount.
Okay. And then
what we're paying every month.
May we add to that then the shift differential? Because the shift differential is really part of the salary, depending on what shifts they work. And that is something that the sheriff's office has always had to budget for in the past.
You'll be budgeting for that. We'll put that in your budget also. It's a
service. But you're talking operational portion and not salary portion.
It's part of your the cost of your department.
It's cost
it's going to stay in your department.
I understand that, but I'm talking about, is it going to be with the salaries or is it going to be with the operational? Because to me, a shift differential should be part of the salaries. It's negotiated with the union.
That's what Rick was talking
about
earlier.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yeah.
You only talked about education incentive. You did not mention shift differential.
And so let me try to be clear. Right. So when you draw a line on page 171
right. And
you look above that, which includes the shift differential, I'm telling you that we're handling that. Lisa's going to work with you. We're going to try to get a good, solid estimate.
I'm going to clarify that.
Absolutely. And I appreciate it.
Right. Very good.
Clear now?
Yes.
All right. Vehicle request. I got really, and I mentioned to you, Sheriff, that this was something that I wanted you to be prepared for. I wanted you to talk through. I got really confused going through the vehicle request, and I want to have the full conversation again about where we are. As I recall, we had talked about a 4-year rotation on patrol vehicles and unmarked and other vehicles not being in that 4-year rotation, and we replace as needed. And so when I looked at last year's budget request, and I compared it to this year's budget request, I couldn't get to 11 vehicles. And so I want you to help talk me through where we were, where we are, and where you think we're going.
Last year we got how many vehicles?
Seven.
And then we'd taken three out of there. We had one vehicle that we got in the current or the previous fiscal year that was moved to that. And then two other vehicles we were asked to hold off on and purchase in the year. And that's why we're now asking for 11 vehicles. The history that we've had at the sheriff's office, we've tried to keep all vehicles that we can that are in primary use, you know, like the IRV and things like this.
Absolutely.
We aren't going to do those on 4-year rotation. But the other vehicles that are signed out to deputies that are driven, we try to keep them on a four-year rotation. One is like detective cars. It may not have the mileage, but they give better trade-in, and it comes back to the county that way. Or there's been other times when the county has asked to use our vehicles in other departments. So we moved vehicles to there.
We just finally got rid of the old Explorer you drove. That thing is just finally gone. I mean, we used that one really, really well for a lot of years.
Yep. And we have with other sheriff's vehicles, too. But a number of years ago, when the county was going through some financial difficulties, mm-hmm. all counties were.
Which would,
and Lisa remembers this. We had started getting away from that 4-year rotation mm-hmm. that it took the sheriff's office a few years to build into that. So we had about the same amount of vehicles each year. It was just expected. But then, because of the county's tough times, the rural services line items, we were shifting vehicles to holding on to them one more year. And again, it got us back to skewing that even rotation of number of vehicles about each year that we could budget for. Mm-hmm. And that's where the consistency come in. So last year, when we came in with the 10 vehicles and we moved three of them out, well, now it just compiles on to the next year. So this is where we're looking at coming in with the request we have. These are patrol vehicles. And I guess That's the best answer I can give. Anything I've left out?
And all these patrol ones come out of what? Rural fund? Or?
We're budgeted right now in the rural fund.
Yeah, okay.
But they're not all patrol.
No, they're not all
no.
rural.
There's three.
Unmarked.
Three. Look at page 186. That's a list of what the vehicles are.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Is it unreasonable to think maybe you can go one more year on a rotation of a patrol car?
For the patrol cars, no. Once we get into that.
Leanna, why don't you step up here so you have
yeah,
a microphone?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I've been gone long enough, and when I first started, we were on a 2-year rotation. So, we've come a long way.
Want to go to that?
Well, if you got 100,000 miles out of a 77 Impala, you were doing really well, and we didn't have any luck doing that. So,
well, the Impala's hasn't changed.
So, yeah, explain it to me. So, because
well, just like this year, the 7 vehicles.
Speak in the mic as much as you can. Thank
just
you.
Like this year, the 7 vehicles that we're trading in, as we're waiting for our order to come in, they are nickeling and diming beyond nickels and dimes, and we're lucky to be keeping them on the road right now.
Okay.
So I guess
I'll just say I am all in on the idea of rotating our patrol vehicles every 4 years. I'm not all in on the idea of rotating our unmarked vehicles every 4 years. That to me becomes more of an as-needed basis. I think we owe it to the people of Story County to get as much good out of those other vehicles as we possibly can. And when a car is ready to go, it's ready to go, and we need to talk about it. I feel entirely differently about our patrol vehicles. I appreciate what those things undergo. I appreciate what they mean to the citizens of Story County. And I think what we've got 18 patrol vehicles. Does that sound right?
We have
No, I'm not including the reserves either. So
no, we have the 18 patrol vehicles, which is 3 sergeants, 15 deputies. We also have the field services commander, which is in an unmarked vehicle.
Okay. Yeah, and I count, unless you convince me otherwise, I count that as 18, and so I see it as it's 4.5 a year that in the patrol vehicles that we should be buying.
We also have 2 in support services. Which 2 deputies do civil process work. When their civil process is caught up, they fall in and do patrol work. So they're out. They're probably putting as many, if not more, miles on their vehicles than patrol.
I'm with you. It's a different, in my mind, and you got to educate me on this a little bit, Sheriff, it's a different level that we're expecting out of those vehicles. A different level of wear and tear, and the 100,000 miles on those vehicles is different than 100,000 miles on a true patrol, it's out on the road every day, vehicle. And so I just view it differently. I'm not saying that we're going to get, 10 years out of these things by any stretch of imagination. Some of them we may only get 4 years out of, and you come to us and you say, this thing's killing us. I mean, it is. And some of them we may get 6 or 7 years out of, but I view those more as an as needed, not because, it's a 2010, so we got to get rid of it this year. This one's ready to go. It's time for it to go. Patrol vehicles, we get to 4 years, let's replace it.
Well, if I may, we have, out of this list of 11 vehicles, we have 5 marked patrol vehicles, which kind of falls within your theory of 4.5 per year.
Right.
Okay, we also have 2 pool cars that are utilized at the sheriff's office that aren't on this list, but we would expect to take a couple of these vehicles and keep them as pool cars and actually trade in the 2 pool cars that are now pretty much down to their last leg.
What are the 2 pool cars? Tell me what those 2 are.
It is a
Charger and an Impala.
Charger and an Impala. They are not... Yeah, it's a 2009.
8 and a 2008, 2009.
Correct.
Yep.
So we would expect 2 of these vehicles.
And that comes out of our unmarked fleet. So when we buy a new unmarked car, one of our unmarks rolls into that pool car.
Yes, 2 of our unmarks out of this list. And, of course, we would take 2 of the top, quality vehicles that we still have left to get their use into it.
Yep.
And then I also have 2 unmarked vehicles that we're now getting into the 5th year because
Sure.
There are two of them that were put off last year. So that's where we stand as far as the 11 vehicles.
And the reserve.
And when you say these are unmarked, these are still unmarked, but they are doing duties very similar to patrol in terms of the amount of wear and tear?
Well, correct. Especially our civil deputies, they will still respond emergent because they'll supplement patrol when we have an emergent call. And so we need to keep them up to as good of a standard. And they're putting on the high miles by serving civil papers across the county.
Okay, so here's where I am, just for me. I am an absolute, unequivocal yes to the five patrol cars.